All right, let's start this off. Hi, I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser. We're back again here for another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast.
And I'm Darren Hallett. And as John was saying, we're back at Studio Live in Cumberland. And with us today is Jason from Gorilla Catering.
Gorilla Foods.
Sorry, Gorilla Foods. Yes. My apologies.
It's all good.
All right. So Jason, can you tell us maybe just a little bit about what Gorilla Foods is?
I'll start with kind of what it does.
Sure.
What it does predominantly is we make frozen meals.
Right.
So we take as much of the local meat as we can, like Comox Valley beef, pork, whatever you got, lamb, chickens, anything that's raised here, as much of the produce as we can, combine it as entrees, standalone dinners, you know, things that would be plated restaurant quality food, blast freeze it, package it, sell it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like, in a nutshell, that's it. That's what Gorilla Foods does. But the entire concept is about using regional food. Mm-hmm. We want to do as much as possible with the local Comox Valley. So, yeah,
wow.
That's it. Making frozen dinners, designing a concept around that helps incorporate, make it easier for restaurants to use everything. I mean, I know it gets difficult with having to do things on demand constantly. I can see it, you're not always going to, everything's not always going to be ready, right? So you're always going back and forth. We're able to do it in such a way with buying a full cow and butchering it in our own space that we can make it last for much longer or use it in different ways. We're not put to the same guidelines as a restaurant. So it allows us this freedom to snatch up everything we want.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Because you're creating a lot of different dishes.
So, yeah.
Because you're sort of going for people who are coming home from work and wanting something really good and tasty, and and you're having it prepared. Well, and
when they're not going to the Atlas Cafe, they're coming to Gorilla Food, and or they're going down to the White Whale at this point.
Right.
And yeah, that's exactly it. It's a convenience thing. It might be a frozen dinner, but it's not a processed meal.
Right.
You know, we stress that so much is that it is scratch cooking. You can admire the packaging and be like, wow, this looks like it came from one of them box stores.
Right.
But no, it came from within, you know, their 15 kilometers of the store.
Right.
The majority of the stuff that it's going to be in, especially come summertime, is going to be somebody that you know by name.
Right.
Well, at least we know them by name because they live here and they have a business here and they grow here and they're, you know, whatever it is they're doing, they might even just be, and they could be an in-between supplier, like what we're using right now, but they're based here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's fantastic.
Keeping it tight.
I've been watching, I only just started following you on Facebook just recently, but I love that every couple of days you're putting up pictures of what's obviously local cuisine, like local sourced foods for your cuisine, and it is. I can see too that you're sort of making sure that there's a little bit. It seems like you're doing a little bit of comfort food, but you're also making sure that there's a little bit of experimentalism, but just more towards like dining, like sort of meals and what have you. You're sort of all over the spectrum, not just doing one sort of style of thing.
It gives people a reason to come in and get something that they wouldn't make themselves.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't want to have the same dishes as, we don't want to copy a restaurant. We don't want to keep our own stuff. But, we want to make things that someone's like, hey, it's a lazy Sunday night. It's rainy. Yeah. It's foggy. Like, we do best when it's ugly out. Summer's hard for us. You'll get, like, I want the mac and cheese and bacon. But they, and we make it different. We do our own twist on it,
right?
And they come looking for that comfort food, but then they're gonna say, okay, there's the ossobuco sitting there, and the first question we get is like, what is it?
Right.
I'm like, oh, well, here we go. So we start talking about how, you know, it's a pretty standard Italian dish, and how it's made and where it comes from and why it's done this way, and then they try it, and then they get two more when they come back next time. But that's the biggest thing. People either want that comfort, or they want something that they wouldn't cook at home, and that's like, you know, they always coming in, I like this because I don't make it.
Right.
Or we get them to try something that they make, and they're like, well, no, I make that at home. And I'm like, well, try it anyways. And the next thing they're saying, my kids won't eat mine.
Yeah. Wow. So. Yeah, it's absolutely tantalizing. And I don't know who's taking your photography, but they're doing a fantastic job.
It's just really selling it. It's just an iPhone.
Is it? Oh, yeah, well, it's really selling me on the food, for sure.
We hang out, taking photos of absolutely everything. I got Chris and Jake in the kitchen, and they are... they're phenomenal.
Right.
Chris has been able to come in and see the vision and revamp the way that the kitchen works. Because, I mean, I come from a completely different background. I don't have cooking in my blood.
Right.
I cooked to entertain women. it was really good being able to, it's great. Yeah. It's a great thing to offer when you're like, yeah, I'll make you dinner.
Right.
So that, that was the kicking off, getting that going. But as actual experience in it, I'll start with zero.
Right.
But an idea, and then being able to figure out the logistics to make the rest of it happen. So coming together with a plan and then having a person that can see, it's like, yeah, I see where you're coming from and how we want to happily exploit the Comox Valley.
Right.
And then, because the way we got going was a kind of a bit of a fiasco. And then as Chris has come in, it's just kitchen runs like a top. We've all got our positions now. Jake has joined on, which is one of his counterparts from Vancouver, now living here. And having the two of them just means that, well, I guess they were already working together before. So they've got both sides of the brain are working now.
Right.
And with the third person, myself, being able to tie it in together so that we've all the bases are covered. The food's gotten exponentially better.
Wow.
We've got more time. We've got better people. It's just everything is
doing. Oh, that's fantastic.
Really, that's wonderful when you have the people and the people that care and see the vision of what you're trying to do. So
For sure. And what has been generally the response so far from the community? Have you seen a lot of support yet? Because I know it took forever for me to figure out what you were doing. And it wasn't actually until John was just sort of offhand brought up your name when we were talking about potential guests. And was like, oh, Jason, what's that about? And then he told me about it. And I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. I don't even know about this. But yeah.
That has tended to be the largest challenge so far.
Right.
Is people understanding that. How do we describe ourselves? I'm like, well, someone else will say, or will say, because it's the easiest thing to do is, well, M&M Meats. And so, well, we're kind of like that, but we're nothing like that.
Right.
I'm
like,
we freeze things. Oh, okay. It's frozen. Yeah. And but it's good for you. Like, yeah. It's more along the lines of it's better for you. It's just,
right.
Think of us as we're batch cooking, or think of it like it's a super high-end TV dinner.
Right,
Like, you're taking it home, you're reheating it, you got extra time to spend with the kids. Like, that's what we're doing. But yeah, so every day they come in, you see there's lots of new faces that just wander in the door and they're like trying to figure out what it is.
Right.
And yeah, we have the exact same conversation daily. But they don't, it's a little, some find it hard to get behind.
Right.
They're just trying to say, okay, well, it's just frozen. So I can't get food here. Like,
right.
I can't just eat it. I'm like, no, it's going to save you time on the back end. We're going to do the work up here and it's going to save you time when you're finished work. Well, okay. So yeah, trying to get that out. And then we've got our location where we're kind of in a shady spot. And then the fact that we don't like spending money on marketing because we'd rather be supporting the community with other events. So we just pulled all the marketing.
Right.
And we, as soon as we can have something like doing things for Yana, or we had the I Belong campaign or stuff for Sunday Dennis this year, whatever we want to be able to put that money into now goes there instead of putting it into print ad. So we're like, and it's not surprising nobody knows about us because only the people that have come in the store do.
Right. No. And that's the thing. It's tragedy because I think what you're doing is fantastic. And I have asked around just to see what other people's opinions were, or had people heard anything about this? And by and large, a lot of people hadn't heard. So I was like, okay, well, that's the thing that we have to do then. We have to start spreading the word because this looks great.
And it is working. They figure out that we exist.
Yeah.
And then one day they see the sign and somebody else has told them and someone else is spreading the rumor again.
Yeah.
And like through social media or Facebook marketing and pushing that, it's we know it's working well.
Right.
It's also very cost effective to do things this way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And but it's just taking time. And I figure when we opened the doors, it was a nice slow opening because there was a lot of kinks to work out. We didn't want to have a ton of people rushing through the door, which probably never would have happened anyways, but being disappointed.
Right.
Because we tested everything.
Right.
Right.
And we increased going back and forth in the freezing and the reheating, and we changed things a lot along the way till we got to a recipe that worked better.
Right.
It's a little more difficult when you're heating something up and then cooling it down to be reheated because it doesn't always react the same way as you think. Like a good recipe you have at home.
Right. Yeah. You start
doesn't always come out the same. Not
hold up.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like we've got the timing. I'll take, for example, I had a lady who was disappointed in a meal that she had, and she comes in often and gets very much the same thing. And so, having our curry, not thinking about it, as we just made it, packaged it, and I'm like, yeah, it's good to go. Get a complaint later on that night. She's quite unhappy because the chickpeas aren't quite soft enough yet. They're fully cooked, but they're not ready. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I know they're fine to go. Hadn't thought about the fact that we've been pulling the timing back on certain vegetables. Well, that's going to go in because when the freezing happens, it's going to change that texture. And when that thing gets reheated and those chickpeas are, they're not mush anymore. They're going to have a touch of texture to them, but that's where they're going to be. If they have them before it goes into there, into the freezer, they're going to be slightly different. And we forgot that.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, of course. And so we're getting complained about how it's not cooked properly because, you know, you're freezing it.
Yeah.
You're destroying the cells. They're okay. It's finished.
Right.
So.
So can you give maybe somebody that's listening just a, what's in the cooler right now or what's in the freezer right now as we speak?
End of our fall winter lineup is in the cooler right or in the freezer at the moment. Mm-hmm. We're currently changing into stuff to use more of what the produce is going to be coming in. So we've taken 11 items off the menu, and we are replacing them with the chicken penne alfredo becomes the hand-rolled chicken cannellonis, bechamel, and a crispy fried chicken skin gremolata. We decided something a little more kid-friendly. We usually would do a bolognese, but because we're always grinding our own meat, and we've always got the extra pork and local pork and local beef and having our lambs constantly, we're figured, okay, you know what? We've been making some excellent meatballs lately, so we're just going to bring in a spaghetti meatball. Simple, be for people that still want that comfort food, a little lighter for the summertime, but super kid-friendly.
Right.
We're always going to have things like our cottage pies and shepherd's pies.
Right.
And when I say shepherd's pie, I'm meaning lamb.
Right.
And we're saying cottage pie, we're meaning beef for people that are like, hey, what is this cottage pie? That's made with beef. And the English like them called it cottage pie, so that's what we do too. We'll have a Italian bean soup coming out that will change up things like the borscht leaving and having the winter squash going away.
Right.
Then we'll just be leaving the soup door open for seasonal vegetables. We'll have a rotating soup.
Right.
We'll have another rotating door of probably things like our pork back ribs will come back every once in a while, or we'll just whatever comes available in excess in the valley too. We're like, okay, well, let's get our hands on that. Let's use that. So we've left a couple of spaces open so that we can, you know, not tie ourselves into everything.
Right, right.
And I guess, what's the big one now that we're actually changing up on? Oh yeah, we're doing desserts for summer now. So we're actually doing things like chocolate cakes and cheesecakes and our crumbles and so so things that we're expanding in that way. And again, these items will disappear and change over again in the fall winter. So
That's fantastic. And and I mean, I saw you did a couple of things too. You had I think you had some pot pies up the other day, or you had some pizzas. Yeah, but I mean, it's constantly, there's just new stuff. So like,
yeah,
it's not that there's always going to be this set menu. People should be just checking it out. There's going to be new things.
There will be, like, cause we'll definitely have, that's what Facebook is so good for, is that we're like, okay, we're posting this, or it's like, this is what we're making today. And then at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, this is what we actually made. We made this, that, and this stuff. So, and then we put one of these together. Cause it's just like, it's kind of, I think of it, it's kind of funny. The way that things work is kind of the way that when we write our menus and we don't put, you know, you get some menus that are written very extravagant, and they're really trying to lead you on about what it is you're about to eat. And we're like, no, it's got this, 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 and this in it.
Right.
Because when you get it, I want you to be surprised. Be like, oh, okay, you know, those ingredients. But there's always that little extra special touch that's going to go
right
in there, as in, you know, most all chefs like to do.
Yeah.
But we try to keep things fairly simple in the way that we talk about
You're not trying to like oversell them on some flowery presentation word wise, but you want it to be right there in the food. That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess you mentioned seeing pictures of pizzas. It's strange coming from a frozen food place.
Yeah. Well,
yet you know, we, one of the things that I also, I guess that we were trying to make happen with Gorilla is that we don't want to limit ourselves to any one thing.
Right.
So it's like if we're already odd being a frozen food place.
Right.
We're like, but we wanted to have fresh offerings too. So we started doing these Italian thin crust pies.
Right.
Two nights a week. And rumor has it, we're opening a pizza place.
lots of rumors in this town.
There's lots of rumors. This one might be a little more up to date, but there's a good chance that's going to be happening in the next couple of months.
So, oh, exciting.
But to keep things, I guess, you know, so we don't get bored with what we're doing, because we like having like lots of change. We keep throwing these events and dinners and Springtoberfest that's coming up on the 21st that you guys will hopefully be at drinking beer and eating
food. I heard about that.
And we just decide, okay, let's just hold these dinners. It's like, well, do we want to do catering, which we do a little bit of it on the side.
Right.
But, or do we want to structure our own dinners? Because we don't, it's, there's that awesome rush of actually being, of doing the service. And that's what we're missing. And it, Chris gets, he needs that. And Jake, you know, well, Jake wants it from time to time. And I think it's just, I love that stuff. So we get to go in, not only are we doing our day-to-day and creating frozen food, but we take our time and put on these catered events that we throw a theme for. So it's like the last one, we did an Italian winter feast, and we got 50 people sitting there enjoying, not knowing exactly what they're getting. You know, it's just, it's like, again, it's got, here's the menu, but you don't, you're not quite certain how it's going to, you know, come out to you.
Right.
And then they being shocked as they haven't paced themselves well enough, as there's been 8 courses have shown up on the table, and ending the night with a round of applause for, you know, the two boys that have done themselves an incredible job. But
it's right,
like, get that little rush where they still get to be in the kitchen, but you get these hours where we can go home at night.
It's honest, what you're doing is a fantastic idea. And years ago, I used to own a commercial building on Fifth Street. And years ago, my brother, who's also in food, we had talked about doing this very same thing without having realized that this is what you were doing, and without realizing that's what Gorilla Food was. We had talked about doing a gourmet, semi-gourmet, you know, brushing up against gourmet, somewhere in that vein of take-home meals, ready to go, and a combination of frozen and fresh made and what have you. We had talked about it for quite some time and planned on, like, you know, we just, having both grown up in this valley, in food, we knew the clientele, we knew which sort of areas we needed to reach out to. And we were convinced it was going to work. But at the time, I was working 14 hours a day, and there was no way of me getting out of it. So it just went to the wayside, and he ended up moving to Montreal for a while. I mean, what have you. I'm just saying that it's great that you're doing it, because even then, when we were sort of testing the waters, people were ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll definitely find, I know that you're still in your sort of, you know, you're not in your first steps, you're probably in your second or third steps, but I know you still haven't got your full market yet. I know that you will grow into it for sure. There's this valley is totally going to be responding to this as soon as it becomes more, you know, word of mouth, as soon as it gets out there.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I just thinking that was the other hurdle that is so tough to get over, is not being confused with Meals on Wheels programs, or this food is just for seniors.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the misconception, people coming through the door and saying, hey, this would be great for my parents. And I'm like, yeah, that's as great for your parents.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's also really great for you too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like
the sense that, you know, like the meals there.
Yeah.
I know when I go out and I go grocery shopping, I usually spend an extra $50 more than I'm planning on. And and I'm never at home anyways, cause I'm at the restaurant. So most of my food goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and actually, I mean, truthfully, I just eat at the restaurant. That's my whole
life. I know, we all do, don't we?
It's terrible.
And it's
but
nice.
I like this idea of having that food there. That's,
you know, absolutely.
It's and it also saves on the waste. Like, there's one thing to going and spending the money on it, but when you turn around and a bunch of the things have gone bad in your fridge already, and, you know, you've wasted the money, you've tossed it, you don't get that with us.
Right.
And you also don't get that with what we're doing, because Our waste is completely minimized because everything's, you know, the restaurants include, like, everything's reappropriated. We're not.
Right.
Everything's getting dealt with. Right down to when we grab an animal, and it's why we don't buy pieces.
Right.
And that's also why we get delays on things, because it works in real time, not just with what comes from, right, you know, wherever the supplier is in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
A extremely low waste.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's fantastic.
It's important. It's socially responsible.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's brilliant. I think you guys, it's definitely going to take off for you, for sure. I really like the fact that you're doing event-based things. I think that that sort of seems to be where, I'm not obviously specifically divining the future or whatever. I think the writing's on the wall. Just a lot of things are moving more towards event-based rather than like ongoing, like as you said, like newspaper promotions or what have you. Mm-hmm. Event-based promotions and event-based just, you know, these great little sort of pocket events that just give this burst of energy. And you get to expose what you do to everybody, and mm-hmm. and everybody gets all excited. And I love to see that coming back, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that's a great way for you to be promoting yourself. I think that's fantastic.
I know. I don't know what else to say for that.
I'm really happy for you. I don't know how to, envious.
I wouldn't be overly envious. The little things like this are they're a massive gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Sane people don't do this kind of thing.
No.
Especially like they're coming in with, I sure as hell didn't know what I was up to. It was an idea. I get excited about stuff and then I get carried away.
How did you get into this, actually? That would be a great question to...
I spent the first, from 18 onwards, I was spending all my time working in film in Vancouver. And that was another, there's no love. Some luxurious film set. There's no luxury involved in any of that. It's again, a lot of working, a lot of hustling, always scrambling for the next job. And the actual work I really enjoyed, but there was a lot of crossover that I could see that would take place in the kitchen, what was happening on a film set or being part of the camera department. So when it's getting a little older, and it's again cooking for ladies and saying, you know, okay, I want to make food. I started getting these, again, the dreams of, you know what, everyone's getting a food truck. I want a food truck too.
Right.
I want to do this. I want to be mobile. I want to go to events. I want to watch shows. I'm tired of missing Comox Valley Music Fest and, you know, the big time out and having to leave on a Monday to go or Sunday to go back to work. And, you know, constantly, you know, if I had a food truck, I could come to these events. And I'm like, I'm going to get a pierogi wagon.
Right.
Make a pierogi wagon. I'm just going to do pierogies. I'm going to travel around. Excellent. And thought, okay, I'll just put that one in the back burner for a little bit.
Right.
And while this was going on, a friend of myself, we decided to publish a book. And it was an all art-based, community-based thing in Vancouver. And we brought everybody together and created this community based around East Van and about our love of it and showing the story through photography. And there was a bunch of values learned there that had to do with, one, how we marketed and how we brought people together and how we were exposing them and promoting them and what they do. And it wasn't our work per se. It was, you know, our titles, we put it together, we curated it, but it was like, this is the community's based book and something that we didn't feel like we're just blowing our own horns because it's other people's work and we're just like, this is amazing.
Right.
So as the project progressed and I left it, it continued and I came over to the island. I'm like, I am going, or sort of making my transition back here. It was in around 2011 and still working over on the mainland and traveling back and forth. And I'm like, God, I still want to do something food-based. And we're racking our brains and my brain against the wall. And I'm like, I'm still going to do the food truck. I'm just going to try it. I'm going to see what happens. Maybe this isn't the right thing, but it's going to keep me building something in Courtney. And
it's funny. That's the year I bought my food truck, but
picking up the Snap-on Tools truck on the side of the road in Aldergrove, I was just like, yeah, that's the one. I'm going to gut that thing. I'm going to stuff a new engine in it and, we'll get her going. So a little safety check and had her towed into a place in Burnaby. Uh-huh. And, get this phone call while I'm in my backyard in Courtney. And it turns out that during the safety check, the thing caught fire, and the fire trucks all came and had to put it out. And so I was losing the vehicle, and it was just freshly bought.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm going, I'm giggling to myself in the backyard, and I'm thinking, well, this is a pretty good sign that maybe I shouldn't do this.
Right.
So I'm like, it doesn't take away that we're going to do food, but I'm like, hey, you know what? Food trucks, maybe not yet the best idea for the valley.
Right.
And in hindsight, and looking at the way things really are around here, unless you want to go trek, I don't, we're not quite ready, I don't think.
Right.
So yeah, that was, here we are, trying to figure out what's going to happen after that. And, having the vehicle disappear bought me some more time to do some more brainstorming.
Right.
And then, I don't know how it happened. I was looking up pierogies again. It all comes back to pierogies. I was looking at pierogi making machines. I was looking at the processes. I was looking at seeing what I could find elsewhere to see how effective they'd make, how much it would do. I'm like, okay, you know, like maybe this is something that could be feasible, you know. And I guess somewhere it just like came into and the frozen aspect. And I just kept crossing over things.
Right.
And I stumbled along a company out of the UK called Cook, and about 15 years ago, they started doing frozen meals, similar ideas. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. I'm like, yeah. Well, these guys are like, this doesn't. And it was just like this never, all of a sudden it just started freaking snowballing. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. No. And we started writing down. I'm like, frozen food, why not frozen food? There was a chef that I was working with at the time.
Right.
And it's like, introduced him, like, why couldn't we do frozen food and base it like this?
Yeah.
Why can't we not do those meals here? I was looking for examples. I'm like, there's people that are starting things that are similar in design and ideas like this all across the country right now.
Right.
This is happening. Yeah. It's not. And I mean, but if they're happening as frozen catered restaurants, but they're, and they're happening in metropolitan areas. I'm like, but we've got the valley here. Like we're food central. It's like,
yeah.
Why can't we, let's do it with our stuff.
You got the resources.
I mean, so much of our stuff isn't staying here anyways.
It's
getting out of here.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was just this moment of, I remember getting ridiculously excited and then cashing in on my RSPs and and then this thing just kept going. I was calling the owners of these companies. I was trying to find out, well, you know, I'm like, here, I want to hear your feedback on. I want to hear about your process. I was being that annoying person that comes in and wants, hey, what are you guys using here? You know, waiting to talk to the people in the UK. I just wanted to talk to them about their startups and how things work for them. And at that point, it was already too late because we'd so far ahead in writing what we were going to do and how it was going to work and how it was going to relate to this and that. It just kept going and here we are.
Wow. That's
I could talk like, yeah.
No, I know that, but that's just it. Like that's how these things are. Most of the times, when you have this like concise written out plan, and you're just like, okay, well here it is. Here's the blueprint. Everybody follow and let's go. And then we'll be open in 3 months and whatever. Those sort of things took eight. Yeah, yeah. I know, but yeah. Those sort of things don't generally work out. It's the ones that are, you just get that gut feeling and you move with that and you go, you know, you build on that. Those are the ones that seem to end up working out.
Well, yeah. This is a little strange little story for you. A little weird information is that during the same time frame, from another relative of mine, I find out that a cousin that I've never met in Victoria is same age. She comes from my grandfather's brother's grandchild. And my aunt says to me one day, oh, your cousin Krista, she's going to open a frozen food place in Victoria.
And I was like, what?
What are you talking about? And so I start looking online, and she's just getting going, and I give a phone call because it's saying that they're using their great-grandmother's recipes. I'm like, I wonder whose great-grandmother this is. So a phone call out of the blue, and asking her all these funny questions, and then I'm just like, yeah, I think we're actually related. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, we start talking. Of course, it comes out, and here we are both doing frozen food places on the island, but in completely different places at the exact same time that are actually using extremely similar viewpoints. Like, the things are both, they're, you know, it's like there's it's a bunch of guys are doing this one and a bunch of girls are doing this one. And that's pretty much the difference is like in the decor. Right.
Really?
But they're super similar. So part of me thinks that maybe this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so I just kind of, yeah, I laugh about it from time to time. We've actually, we still never met.
Oh, wow. Really?
Been into the shop, just never been there, and at one point we will probably cross paths, but yeah.
That's wow. a great story.
Yeah, that's great. So what's your plan then? What happens next? Or do you have
yeah.
a plan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're the plan is right now we are going to change gears a little bit. The fact that we're organizing to open our standalone pizza place
right.
is it was... It doesn't quite fall into the same lineup, but it's something that we feel, you know, will help us along as we go because
right.
We also think that with what we're doing, the kind of pies that we're making is going to offer something a little special to the Valley. People just aren't doing this here yet. So,
right.
nah, and we were just going to focus on making one thing very, very good.
Right.
And that will hopefully lead to having, well, where it's going to be will hopefully lead to keeping more of a community hub in our downtown core. And that's another thing that's super important is that I want to see our Courtney downtown become vibrant and have a nightlife. And,
yeah.
You know, it's, I sure. Yeah. We want it. And I know there's enough of us here that, you yeah. know, we don't want to always come to Cumberland.
Yeah,
exactly.
We want to be able to stay nearby and right. have. We've got a great venues down there. I mean, there's a nice changing the guard happening within the business community.
John and I have been talking for a while that we think that one of the ways that you could revitalize the downtown community or the downtown core is I personally think that it should be a mecca for food. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that it should be, you know, 6, 7, 8 key restaurants or whatever, wine bar, what have you, should all be up and down Fifth Street, and then it becomes a destination.
Without
it
a becomes, doubt.
You know, people don't know what they're going to do. They just know that they're going to go downtown and they're going to yeah. get something good.
Yeah, you know, get some live music. And
yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and not even, it's okay. You take, I know Tofino is a vacation destination, and most people aren't going there to go surfing, go play in the water. They're just going to wander around, check it out. The Comox Valley offers that.
Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't have the... It can have those restaurants. It can have that same vibe to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Without a doubt. And I think it would do great.
Yeah.
You build them. People are going to come to them.
Right, exactly. And that's just it. And right now they're looking for a purpose for downtown. Downtown just doesn't seem to have any sort of draw to it. And
no, unless
that would be a draw.
Maybe unless you know go to the Vapor Lounge.
Yeah.
Great. Let's open 3 of those on our downtown yeah. strip and see what happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe we could, but you know, having Gladstone Brewing come in,
yeah,
big change, adds mm-hmm. an extra dynamic.
Absolutely. And I think that that's just it. I think that that's what's happening is we're getting that's starting to happen. That's, mm-hmm. we're going to see more and more of it, which is great, you know?
Well, you know, there are spaces available in the downtown core looking for chefs that might want to take them over.
That's true.
And places like our Valhalla, for instance.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
So they're there. The spaces are opening up with the fact that no one is getting into them. The owners of those places aren't going to be able to sit on them for that much longer.
No.
Mm-hmm. Prices are going down. They're not making them any money. It's time to get in there and make offers and be like, okay, yeah. here, we want to come in here and, you know, and put something better in.
Absolutely.
And, it just takes,
I know. And we know,
chefs that want to change.
We know a couple chefs actually that, I'm sure that one's going to be making an announcement anytime in the next few weeks about what they're planning on doing. But, yeah, I know a couple of others that are trying to get things going. And I keep buzzing in their ear about that too, you know, mm-hmm. downtown. And thankfully this one couple that we know, they're eyeing downtown. They're refusing to do anything but Fifth Street, it's got to be Fifth Street.
Totally.
So it's fantastic. I mean, I think that we will see that start to come into play over the next few years and mm-hmm. really create that food mecca in the downtown core, give it back that. I mean, and that's not to disparage any of the local businesses down there. There's been some great businesses there for a long time.
I think a lot of them are great down there.
Yeah, as all these places totally. Close up shop and jump ship, a lot of people are finding a lot less reasons to go downtown, mm-hmm. and this can just revitalize that. It can make mm-hmm. that all happen mm-hmm. all over again, you know?
When I think about how I don't want our downtown to look, I start thinking about places like Port Alberni.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And it has so much potential.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like to scare myself a bit. Mm-hmm. And then think about Port Alberni. And then, not that I don't like, I think it's a beautiful place in the summer. Yeah,
right.
And yeah, but that's, you know, those are the things that happen in the smaller towns. And I mean, we're not immune to it. So
yeah, well, and you know, I mean, I'm sure we could talk about this all night, but we should probably wrap this up. But speaking of Fifth Street, you're on Fifth Street. Why don't we tell everybody where we can find you?
Yeah, so let's get the information on how to get a hold of you.
Yes, we're just past the four-way stop. Yeah, for anyone, I guess anyone listening, this thing must go national, right?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
our millions of followers.
Millions of followers.
Just past the four-way on the left. so, yeah, if you're on Fifth Street, we're actually half a block out of the actual downtown core. So that little block has just been slightly extended with the businesses that have gone up. So I'd consider downtown being half a block longer now.
Right.
And so if you're on Fifth Street, 534 Fifth Street, halfway up between Fitzgerald and Harmston.
Right.
So, and yeah, grassy space. Come the summertime here and we start doing our events, we'll be tenting that out again and doing dinners in the front yard.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And a good chance, if I can't sell that projector anytime soon, you'll be seeing dinner and a movie happening.
And so what are your hours, just so that people like know when to stop by?
Mondays to Thursdays, we are open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And on Fridays and Saturdays, we're open from 10 till 9 p.m. Saturdays, it decides on whether or not we sell it at pizza doughs, because if we sell it at pizzas, we're closed. That's it.
So, right. Cool. All right.
Okay. And for people who want to follow you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Right here, if you want to get what's going on.
Yeah, completely. The easiest way to do it is to Google The Gorilla Food Company, and you'll see Facebook page come up, or go to tgfc.ca, and there you will find hyperlinks to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, ridiculous rantings that we put on there, and all the menus. We're pretty diligent about keeping everything updated, especially our Facebook.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in and sitting with us.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. It's a lot easier than I
yeah. All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast.
I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
I'm Darren Howlett. And be sure to check us out on our Facebook page. And you can also find us
on our website at ediblevalley.com.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.